Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call comes directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can have dialogue and discussion. We'd love to hear from you today. Are you in agreement with what I'm saying? You disagree? Do you have any empirical evidence that will prove otherwise of what I'm trying to get us to understand? We're talking about the real truth behind the story. And the story is that Black Lives Matter is a matter of black lives, that it is about trying to help black skinned people in America. That's simply an untruth. It's simply a fabrication of the real story. It is not truth at all. And just as the mayor in Olympia, Washington State, discovered recently when she found that the Black Lives Matter had destroyed the front of her home and spray painted it, vandalized her home while she was away. They spray painted BLM across the front, even though she had a large sign on her, hanging on her wall on her front porch, that she was commending Black Lives Matter. Basically, she's saying, don't bother my home because I'm in agreement with Black Lives Matter, where she had just 10 days earlier kneeled with the Black Lives Matter thugs in the street as the mayor of Olympia, Washington. And she discovered to her chagrin, as she called them terrorists. It sounds like she's in agreement with President Trump when he says that they're terrorists. And we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that that is exactly right. But Black Lives Matter happens to take the position of exploiting anything that would allow them to continue their thuggery across the nation to carry out what they're wanting, just as the autonomous zone now in Seattle, Washington, where the Black Lives Matter thugs have taken over that whole area. I was shocked to watch an undercover video about what's taking place in the autonomous zone, now the six blocks in Seattle, Washington. The folks walking around zoned out, and you tell their own drugs. I think that's a throwback to the days of the hippies in the 60s, when at Woodstock they lasted for several weeks just in a zoned out status because of drugs and alcoholism and promiscuousness. That's what you see in the autonomous zone in Seattle, Washington. And it's all perpetrated on society by the Black Lives Matter. In the undercover video that's on, been shown on the internet and been shown by the Tucker Carlson show, shows them zoned out, two large black men walking down the street, mingle with others, but with their AK-47 strapped on their shoulders, where they are the law there because they do not allow police officers to go in, because the whole mantra now is to some way defund law enforcement. One female laying over on a little cot, zoned out, and somebody hands her what seemed to be what's called a joint, another smoke of pot, and a man standing there with his pants down urinating on the wall, and all of that in the autonomous zone. And that's what this Black Lives Matter wanting to accomplish across America today, is to destroy the warp and the woof, the actual fabric of society, the integrity of the United States of America, and the freedoms that we enjoy today. They want it to be under a dictatorial mindset with thugs in charge. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a battle for the soul of America. It's what we're talking about. It's what we're seeing. And yet I am absolutely appalled. I'm amazed. I'm saddened. I'm shocked. I'm concerned when I see the lawlessness that's taking place and those that are in charge of law and order in our nation simply being told by the mayors and the governors to sit down, to back down, to hold off and allow the thuggery to take place in our streets. This is a battle for truth. It's a battle for our family and for the faith and for the future and the freedom of the United States of America. Black Lives Matter is a front for Marxism, communism, socialism in America today. Here's an article that validates some of that statement. The title of this article, "The Left Exploits George Floyd's Killings for the Purpose of Revolution." The article further says, the radical left exploiting the legitimate outrage of many Americans over the brutal killing of George Floyd on May 25th by Derek Chauvin, the former Minneapolis police officer who has been charged with murder. George Floyd's killing was shocking enough to millions of Americans to become spark the leftist revolutionaries. Notice, to spark the leftist revolutionaries who were looking to mobilize the masses. Further in the article, the killing of George Floyd was a gift to the communists. It was so egregious and so public that it was bound to provoke outrage. The communist Marxists seized on the event and magnified that anger to the point of mass violence. If Floyd had never died, listen to this statement. If George Floyd had never died, the revolutionaries simply would have waited for a few more days until the next opportunity inevitably would arise. Black Lives Matter movement has socialist roots. It has followed in the steps of the past radical black liberation movement, but with more intersectionality and the added benefit of current day social media to spread the word. Alicia Garza, the activist who co-founded Black Lives Matter, was railing against a radical capitalist society back in 2015. She praised the willingness of young people to reject responsibility and respectability of politics and police officers to confront power in the form of police directly and militantly, she said. Garza was also a featured speaker at the Socialism 2017 conference in Chicago. But she and other Black Lives Matter leaders hope to broaden the movement's appeal by drawing attention to purported multidimensional racism against blacks and males and females beyond just the issue of alleged abuse by the police. Yet, while the Black Lives Matter movement grew as new chapters were formed, it was not growing into the popular nationwide movement its founders were hoping for until the protests of George Floyd's killing erupted. The Black Lives Matter movement suddenly found itself crossing over into the consciousness of mainstream America and as seemingly a noble cause against systemic racism that privileged whites could no longer ignore. However, Black Lives Matter's socialist Marxist underpinnings remain, and lacking its own disciplined structure, its alliances with more tightly organized socialist groups remain as firm as ever. And this article goes on to outline what I've said before on this broadcast in days past and what I'll continue to say, ladies and gentlemen. Black Lives Matter is a socialist, Marxist, communist organization. And I say that sternly and de facto because I've done the research on it. I know what I'm talking about. And if I'm speaking to you and you're a pastor, a black pastor in particular, and you're going to stand in your pulpit and commend Black Lives Matter, or you're going to put your photo of you and your family on Facebook and commend Black Lives Matter, if you're going to preach Black Lives Matter from your pulpit, you need to check up, see if you're in the faith. You need to check up, see if you're following the edicts of the Word of God rather than the socialist Marxist agenda of Black Lives Matter. All lives matter. Babies in the womb's lives matter. White lives matter. Black lives matter. Blue lives matter. Brown lives matter. We all matter because we are created beings created by God Himself. And we're created in His image. Therefore, every life matters. You can't kill a baby in the womb and then say Black Lives Matter. And the socialist, Marxist, communist Black Lives Matter organization pushes the sodomite lifestyle, the LGBTQ agenda. They push abortion as part of their agenda. They push socialism, communism, and the overthrow of America as the main tenet of their belief system in Black Lives Matter. This article gives great detail on that, ladies and gentlemen. Let me just read you a blurb or two. The Freedom Road Socialist Organization, called Fight Back, FRSOFB, is one of the radical left socialist organizations that have played a major role behind the scene in fomenting the militancy in the streets following the killing of George Floyd. Its self-admitted Marxist-Leninist organization has connections to Black Lives Matter through the communist-inspired National Alliance Against Racism and Political Repression. And it goes on and on and on. It's a part of an agenda carried out in the Communist Party USA. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm urging you, I'm encouraging you, I'm pleading with you in this broadcast today. Please, please, please do not be deceived by the fake, phony, false media that presents Black Lives Matter as simply being an underdog organization trying to protect black lives. If black lives mattered, they would not have burned down block after block after block of black property and black business owners and black people and destroying their work and their income, their jobs, and their futures in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and also across the nation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a lie. And I'm talking about on the broadcast today the real truth behind the lie, the real truth behind the story that we're being given. I believe I have a caller on the line. Go with the question, the comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, Brother Davis, how are you today?
Brother Davis, God bless you. Good to hear from you.
Yes, sir. I just want to comment on some of the things that you just got finished talking about, and I would like to challenge the black ministers, pastors as well. As Amen. A black minister myself, here's what I think we should do in order to make sure that we assess the situation correctly. We need to put self on the back burner. Because yes. here, a lot of times we can get caught up in emotions, and that will cause us to make the wrong decision each time. And I'm speaking from that perspective because I have actually experienced a lot of these things that are going on now, coming up through the 60s as a black person. Yes, I've been disadvantaged, discriminated against, other things like that. But we have to realize once we become born again in Christ. The Bible says that we are a new creature. So
Amen.
Therefore, in order for us to really assess the situation correctly, we have to look through the eyes of God and make sure, is this the way that God would see it? Is this the way that he would have us to do it? I challenged another minister on the other day with the same question, and I let him know that what we should really be doing, Dr. Youngblood, when it comes down to making the right decision, because again, you know, we can identify with, certain situations because of what we have been through down through the years.
Yes,
but
right.
then we have to also, Bible lets us know, when we get ready to make a choice or make an answer, we've been taught, by the older saints in the church to think twice and speak once. And
yes.
I say this, you know, in a way to where, maybe hopefully someone else can grasp or hold this situation to come to realize that, yeah, a lot of times, when you make a choice as a human being, 9 times out of 10, your first response is always going to be wrong. But as a first Christian, and I'm just saying this from a personal perspective, as a first being a Christian, then next being a black man, if I'm going to do something, I want to do it the way that God would have me to do it.
Amen.
I want to do everything that I can to please God. So here's what I told that other minister the other day. Before you do something, before you make a choice, before you even think, what you should do is, Dr. Youngblood, sift, filter, and sort things out by the word of God. And if you do it that way, I guarantee you, each and every time, everything will come out to be all right. But, again, emotions are the things that's causing the civil unrest, the political unrest,
yeah.
all these things that we're seeing that's going on right now. This is the reason why these kind of things are going on, because the scripture told us that in the last days, perilous times would come. So
right.
we as Christians on today, we need to prepare ourselves to face things that might even come a little bit worse than what we're seeing right now. But again, when we see these kind of things happening, let's make sure, is this the way that God would have us to do it? Is this the way that he would have us to see it? Is this the way that he would have us to assess this? Compare the things that we see are going on to the word of God, and I guarantee you, if you do it that way, you'll be able to make the right decision each and every time.
Absolutely. Brother Davis, hang in there. Let me ask a question or two for us to have a little dialogue on this subject that I think would
yes,
clarify
sir.
Some things for our listeners and be edifying to them also. When I was growing up as a lad, my mother, of course, my dad passed away when I was 5 years old. I didn't have a dad in the home. She was raising us by herself. And she always told us, if the teacher spanks you and you come home, I'm going to spank you too. If you get in trouble, you need to always recognize that the police officers are there for your benefit and to protect you. So therefore, the responsibility is, if I was ever stopped by a law enforcement officer as I grew up and got a driver's license and started being on the road, it would always be on the basis, thank you, officer, for doing your job. You ask a question, yes, sir. You want to see your driver's license, yes, sir. Where are you going? Tell him, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. To respect law enforcement and to answer in that form. And as a white boy, that's the way I was trained. And I have talked with a number of black brothers, and they were trained the same way. And yet we see a radical difference today that's supposed to be the module by which we set the pace as to how we're supposed to respond to law enforcement. And then when a law enforcement officer tries to put the handcuffs on, start wrestling and fighting and then running, and has the police officer's taser and then fires back at the police officer, what should that police officer do? How should that police officer respond? What is his normal response? What would the normal response be? And how should we respond to law enforcement? From your perspective, how would you answer those questions?
Well, sir, Dr. Youngblood, I was raised in pretty much the same way, to respect authority, especially when it comes down to law enforcement, because I myself have people that's in my family with a law enforcement background. My uncle back in the 1940s lived down in Miami, and he was one of the first black police officers to ever join the force in Miami, Florida, back in the 40s. He stayed there, and, you know, he worked with the force, and he ended up, you know, getting a good retirement and everything, lived on and stayed connected with law enforcement up until the time he died. I have a cousin that lives in Camden County that right now today he's retired also just recently, but he became the highest ranking black police officer in Camden County. And he had a good reputation with everybody. Everybody knew him. Everybody loves him. He was a well-respected person. But again, you know, as you said, I was taught to respect authority. You don't just come up to a policeman, or if he happens to stop you, question his authority while you're stopping me, or just approach him and put your hands on a police officer, because
That's right.
This man represents the law.
Yes.
So you have to realize that you are not above the law. You don't even have the authority to question the law about what they're doing, because they are out there to do their job. So
yes.
Anytime you put your hands on an officer like that, quite natural, I'm sure, he feels like his life is being threatened. So the number one response for just a human being, you know, in general, anytime they come under attack, the next response is to defend yourself. So it's a bad situation in a lot of ways that individuals don't see it from that perspective. But this is what causes things to happen when you put your hands on an individual like that, especially if it's someone who represents the law, because, I mean, you can't blame them for wanting to protect themselves because of the way society is on today. These guys get attacked from every angle. I mean, even... I mean, at times when they least expect it. So, quite naturally, that's what they're going to do. They're going to protect themselves.
So, Brother Davis, do you think it's a good idea for the nation to defund police departments and defund law enforcement?
I think that's never the answer, Dr. Youngblood. I would never support defunding, you know, police. If we do away with them, who's going to keep the law in order? Because, again, you're speaking now about, you know, what's happening in Seattle, Washington. I don't want to see that happening in folks in Georgia. I don't want to see that happening in Jacksonville. I don't want to see that happening anywhere. It's bad enough, you know, we got the drug heads and the thugs and all these people walking around out there now with unregistered firearms. And, you know, some of them got more firepower than what the police department is carrying. They're shooting bullets, you know, that can tear through a human body and tear through a building, you know, all at the same time. So, these guys feel threatened when they have to come up against stuff like that. But if we put them to the side, how in the world are we going to keep law and order?
That's it, exactly. Well, brother, I am thankful for you, and you keep on standing up for truth. And I believe that that's what our citizens need to hear and understand, whether it's white or black, that we need to recognize that. From the standpoint, as Ken Ham puts it, there's not but one race, it's the human race. and we all have the same Adamic blood in our veins. There's that sin nature for every one of us, regardless of the color. And we need to recognize, as you've said so eloquently, when we say yes to Jesus Christ, that becomes the fundamental, foundational, main thing that we need to view, is what would Jesus have us to do and respond in that fashion. And understanding that, we need to recognize that law enforcement, police officers, yes, just as with any other profession, there'll be bad apples, but we need to recognize that God has given us law enforcement, police officers, as our protectors in the nation, in society in which we're living. Brother Davis, thank
Amen.
You so much
Amen.
For the call, and thank you for your input, and God bless you
can
today.
Can I say
yes,
one
sir.
More thing before you get
yes,
ready
go right
to go?
Ahead.
I just want to challenge Christians in particular, you know, with this thought, you know. We are all Christians, white, black, blue, green. I don't care what color you might consider
yes,
yourself to
amen.
Be. We're just one. There's only one race as far as God is concerned. And that's
right.
The Christian race. That's the saved people. Okay. Again, you know, I think a lot of times people let society dictate, you know, how they live or how they should classify themselves. But when it comes down to being a Christian, this is what I told that minister a few days ago. He said that I'm a black Christian man. I said, no, sir, you're a Christian black man.
That's
okay?
right.
First, you're a Christian. Next, you're a black man. So
right.
in other words, you're kind of putting the cart ahead of the horse when you're saying I'm a black Christian man, because being black doesn't have anything to do with being connected to the family of God. Being a Christian
Amen.
Is what connects you to the family of God.
That's right.
So when you start putting things in perspective like that, then what you're telling me, you're walking in the flesh instead of being in the spirit.
You got
so
it.
When you let things like that happen, Dr. Youngblood, each and every time, it's impossible to make the correct spiritual call when you put yourself in classifications like that, because actually what you're doing, you're putting the world ahead of God instead of God ahead of the world.
You got it. Amen. Couldn't have said it better, brother. Thank you so much
Amen.
For your input today. God bless
thank
you.
Thank you so much.
Day. Yes, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about looking at the truth. We're talking about the real truth behind the story. And the real truth behind the story is that Black Lives Matter is not about black lives. It's not about racial disparities and difficulties in our society. Sheriff David Clark, most everyone knows the name, a black sheriff. He said, you'd have to loathe black people to defund police. Defunding police is another proposed solution based on the false narrative that the only way that life will only make life worse for blacks in America, contends the former four-time elected sheriff, multiracial Milwaukee County. The biggest losers in all of this would be poor black people in crime-ridden ghettos. The police are the only thing standing between them and violent criminal predators, said David Clark, sheriff in his county. You'd have to loathe black people to do that to them. Clark, 63 years old, said the proposal advocated by Black Lives Matter movement, which has quickly gained traction among Democrat leaders in cities such as Los Angeles, New York, Minneapolis, isn't a serious public policy proposal. It is buffoonery, he said. Since the death of George Floyd, on Memorial Day, is universally condemned actions. Minneapolis police officers, a majority of the city's council members, have pledged to dismantle the police department. Leaders in other cities propose shifting funds from law enforcement to social programs intended to reduce crime. They won't push back, he said. The police are not the problem. He contends racialist Black America, such as Al Sharpton and others, largely ignoring the devastating impact of the $22 trillion spent on welfare poverty programs over the past 50 years that have unintended effects of fostering fatherless homes with 75% of the blacks born out of wedlock. Look at the cultural dysfunctionism, the growing underclass, the ineffective parenting, the fatherless homes, the school failure, dropping out of school early, joining gangs, drugs and alcohol abuse, teenagers having kids, et cetera, et cetera. And he points out the problems that are manifestly great in America. And if you defund police departments and defund the law enforcement, you're going to hurt those that need it most. In fact, the main thing that I see, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to understand is that Black Lives Matter is undertaking the socialist, Marxist, communist approach to tear down and destroy the foundations of America. They don't want to be in America. They don't want to live as Americans. They don't like our Constitution. They don't like the law enforcement. And so, as one famous football player said, that he would send them to whatever country they want to go to. Here's an article. Herschel Walker offers to send people who want to defund police to any country that they want to where there are no police officers. The former NFL running back Herschel Walker offered to work with airlines to send people who want to defund the police department to countries without them. Walker, who played 12 years in the NFL, took his thoughts to Twitter in response to people who want to eliminate police departments across America. He says, I have an idea for all of those people who don't want the police. I'd love to meet with the American Airlines, Delta Airlines, Southwest, and make a deal to fly them to countries that don't have police. I want them happy, Herschel Walker wrote. He said, you don't want them in America because you don't like police departments? I'll pay for your ticket to go wherever you want to go. It's a sad, sad scenario, ladies and gentlemen. I'm looking at an article that simply is very, very poignant. It says, in 1933, Hitler appointed Hermann Göring, Minister of the Interior. His first orders were to defund and eliminate police departments so that they would not interfere with his brown shirts, whose mission it was to riot, burn, beat up, and kill the citizens in an effort to sway the elections. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're seeing the exact same thing. Keep in mind now, this article says in 1933, Hitler appointed Hermann Göring as Minister of Interior. His first orders were to defund and eliminate police departments so that they would not interfere with his brown shirts, whose mission it was to riot, burn, beat up, and kill any citizens with an effort to sway the elections. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're seeing exactly the same thing in America today. It's an attempt to sway the elections in America, but it's born out of the plan to overthrow, to undermine, tear down, and destroy the very soul of America. That's our constitutional republic. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be very, very careful when we hear them talking about Black Lives Matter, that's about black lives. And secondly, the lie that says that we need to defund law enforcement. That's a lie that will destroy the foundation of the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.